This weekend, we've had a wonderful weekend, and we've done a lot of talk about the solid rock that we were standing on. It's the rock of Christ, and we've sung so beautifully about the rock of Christ. And the reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first four verses. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Notice the connection between the weekend and what's said right here. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Jesus is the rock. For some time now, we have tried to use the theme of any special effort on campus and carry it into our morning worship here at Henderson the next Sunday morning. Back a few weeks ago, when I received the first advertisement that I got from the school and looked at the theme for the weekend of making music, Rock in the USA, I immediately thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus truly were that rock in the USA? He could be. He wants to be. Yet sometimes we think maybe he is not as he should be in the nation, but certainly can be in the lives of you and me. And let me pause just long enough to say to all of the students at Fried Hardeman and others who were working with them, congratulations on a program last night that was excellent. At least I saw it last night. It was throughout the weekend. We appreciate the enthusiasm, the interest that's shown, and we appreciate the opportunity to be associated with you, with the parents and others that are here with us this morning. Jesus is the rock. I also thought when I looked at that about a song that I remember, and this may date me, a song that was entitled Rock Around the Clock. And I thought, in a sense, Jesus ought to be the rock around the clock. I don't know that there has ever been a time that we have been in more need of something solid and firm on which to stand and on which to build than the time in which we now live. The stock market has gone down almost every day for the last few days. The headlines in one of the more recent Jackson Suns referred to something that has caused conversations at least three or four times that I've heard in the last two or three days, that I'm not for sure that it is even safe to go to a mall in Jackson, Tennessee. I closed a gospel meeting Wednesday night in Springfield, Tennessee, having delivered 11 lessons from Sunday morning through Wednesday night on the subject of fixing fractured families. We had a number of responses during the week, and the comments that were made by those who came forward just reinforced what I think I already knew. We have a lot of people today who are hurting. We have several people whose hearts are heavy and whose lives are burdened by what is going on in the world around us. And if there has ever been a time that we need a rock, it's the time in which we live. The lesson was well introduced by the songs Gary has chosen and by the reading that Brother Sewell read. We need to place our hope in Christ, and we need to build on that rock and not on the sand. We need to realize in the same way that Jesus, as a part of the Godhead, was with the Israelites as they came out of bondage in Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness wanderings to the Promised Land, that we need that same kind of rock today. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm here to affirm without a doubt that Jesus is that rock. And if somehow or other we can ever bring him back to where he is more of a rock in the USA, even respected more as a rock as he was respected by our founding fathers when they came to this country, developed some of the documents that guide us even today, if we can ever bring him back to that level of respect, he's going to have an effect, a greater effect upon our country and henceforth upon the entire world. I would, in the first place this morning, ask you to let your mind wander with me for a moment back to the book of Psalms. There's not time to mention all the passages in this one book that refer to the Lord as the rock. I would share with you six. Psalm 18, verse 2, refers to the Lord as the rock of protection. When you and I can get behind a rock wall, or something that is fortified, something that is solid, we feel that there is some kind of protection. The Lord is that rock of protection. Psalm 31, verse 2 says that he is the rock of defense. Again, in times of battle, the one who's able to be behind the rock or behind something where there is a line of defense is in a safer position, and usually in a position to win the battle. And even the old-time Roman soldier with the shield put something out there that represented the idea of protection, something that was hard, something that was firm, there to stand against, as the idea is presented in Ephesians 6, the darts, spiritually speaking, the darts of the devil. Psalm 40, verse 2 talks about the Lord as a rock of support. And the idea here is that there is something underneath that gives support. It's the opposite of the sinking sand. It's the opposite of the feeling that we're just easing down little by little. It's the feeling that there is something there that is solid and firm where we can place our feet and know that we will not sink. I had the experience many times of wading across a creek and sometimes trying to go across it with my shoes on and picking out the rocks where I could step to stay out of the water. Sometimes I might reach out with the foot and touch that rock and see how solid it was, to see if it was solid enough to give me the support that was needed. That's the idea that is involved. In Psalm 18, verse 46, the Bible says that the Lord is the rock of our salvation. And if there is anything today where we need to have that firm support and that solid belief and assurance, it is in the area of salvation. Christ is the rock of our salvation. Psalm 61, verse 2 talks about him in the sense of the rock that is higher than I, and some of our songs are based on that. I want to go to that rock that is higher than I. When I think of this, I think of something like the Washington Monument that has the appearance of a rock. Something that is high, that is set up as a rock of memorial, that reminds us of a great man. And in this sense, as we think about Christ, we think about him being there as something that's great and stands towering above everything else. He is that rock that is higher than I. And then in Psalm 62, verse 2, the idea is presented that we have a rock that lasts. Last year I had the privilege of visiting Plymouth, Massachusetts, and seeing the Plymouth rock that has the date 1620 on it. I don't know whether that rock is the one where the pilgrim stepped off, but I can tell you it's an old one. It's been there for a while. It's a rock that lasts. I could take you back to the little farm where Dad and Mother still live, and I could show you some specific rocks on that farm that are there today. And I remember them for specific reasons. They had a purpose. There's a rock about 8 feet in front of my mother and dad's door that I wish I could dig up and bring to my house. It's the old chimney rock of the house where I was born. I was born in about 5 or 6 feet of that rock. And it is so set in the ground that I haven't tried to dig it up yet. It's something that's solid. It lasts. It was there when I was born, and that house was an old one then. It had been there for a long time. The Bible says that Jesus is the rock that lasts. The tornadoes come, the hurricanes come. All of the problems in life beat upon us, and yet we have a Lord who is a rock that lasts. Now, because Jesus is the rock of protection, the rock of defense, the rock of support, the rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than I, and the rock that lasts, he is then ready to be the foundation rock. And that's what matters. Jesus, our Lord, is the foundation for the church. Many of you could quote Matthew 16, 18. It's the passage where Jesus refers to Peter using the name Peter that was a certain type rock, and then refers to the confession that Peter has just made that Jesus is the Son of God, that fact, that fundamental fact. And he says, upon this rock, upon this fact that cannot be changed, I will build my church, and even the gates of the Hadean world cannot prevail against it. He said, here is a rock that will last. Some organization that's built on a man or a movement may not have that support last. But the New Testament church that is built on the foundational fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God has a foundation that will be there when this world is gone. Jesus is the rock. But not only is he the rock for the foundation of the church, he is the rock for the foundation of life for each of us. You smaller boys and girls, remember the story in Matthew 7? The one where we usually sing with the actions about the houses. You remember the wise man built his house on the rock? The rains came down, the floods came up. The winds blew upon that house, and it stood. And the Bible tells us why it stood. It says it stood because it was built on the rock. The other house that fell was built on the sand. An analysis of that story shows that the houses may have been very much alike. The building process of the house itself may have been somewhat alike. And certainly the involvement in the storms seems to be alike for both houses, but one fell and one did not. And the difference is it was founded on the rock. And in that particular passage, he says the rock that he's talking about is his word. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the applied word of God, and that's believing in Jesus Christ and following Christ, he becomes the rock for the life of any person who wants to turn to him. And perhaps even in the passage that Brother Milton read earlier, there is a little bit more of a personal indication. That idea is that we find in Jesus Christ a foundation for our assurance and our strength, personally speaking. Those folks had come out of bondage, they had been in the wilderness. They complained and murmured. Many of them went back. They needed strength. They needed something to which they could hold. Even the tabernacle was somewhat temporary. They needed something where they could stand that would give them the strength and the assurance that they needed. And Paul says that rock was Christ. And I submit to you today that you and I can find our foundation for strength and assurance in that rock which is Christ. Christ had the qualities of the rock, and because of that, he is fit material for the foundation where we take our stand and where we stand. The foundation for our lives, Jesus Christ is that rock. But using the words of the song that I mentioned earlier and the title of the lesson as we announced it, Jesus Christ is that rock around the clock. At midnight or at noon. At 2 o'clock in the morning when you suddenly awaken, or 5 o'clock in the afternoon when you may be a bit tired, whatever the hour around the clock, Jesus is that rock. At Hebrews 13:5, he's made the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not maybe, not after so many thousand years, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is that rock around the clock. 3 verses later, it is said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. Knowing that I was preaching on this morning, I sat last night as Corey sang the song about the days that go by and listened to some of the words in that song that emphasize that the fundamental things are always the same. These things are the same as the days go by. I thought of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, yea, and forever. Jesus is the rock around the clock. When he gave the marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he then added in Matthew's account, lo, I'm with you always. Not part of the day, not part of the life, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. As the psalmist described his own life, he said, I just cannot get away from God. If I go up into heaven, he's there. If I ascend down into the depths of the earth, he is there. As we sometimes see the statement that really comes from this idea, God is everywhere. Christ is everywhere. Christ is that rock around the clock. After Peter had told the people on that first Pentecost after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus what they needed to do to be Christians, he then said something that is so important. He said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He was saying that this promise of Jesus Christ that earlier in the chapter has been declared to be both Lord and Christ, he is to everybody at all times. He is that rock around the clock. And Jesus himself even said in John 14:18, when I leave, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another part of the Godhead. I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you so that you won't be alone. You won't have to feel alone. You won't have to wonder why or what. And he sent that Holy Spirit, and that Spirit guided the apostles and others in writing this book, which also is declared to be a rock. And you and I today, though we do not have Jesus where we can look at him with our physical eyes, through the eye of faith we can look at him with our spiritual eyes, through his word, and see that rock around the clock. I'm reminded of one of the four wise little creatures back in Proverbs 30 as I think of this concept. You may remember that one of them was the coney. And the writer of Proverbs said there in chapter 30, the conies are a feeble folk, but they make their houses in the rocks. And I suspect there is a sense today in which you and I could say, if we looked at ourselves without Christ, we are a feeble folk. But thanks be to God, we can make our houses in the rock. And we can build our houses on the rock. For Jesus is the rock around the clock. Solid, firm, he giveth not in the sense of backing up. He stands there giving us that foundation on which his church is built, on which my life and yours can be built, where we can find the strength and the assurance, because he is that rock of our salvation. Don't you see why the Lord's invitation is so important? Don't you see why we ask, perhaps even beg people to come to Christ? To be baptized into Christ, to put their foot on him, to take their stand with him? Don't you see why, when people have gone astray and have been affected by the troublesome times around us, that we encourage them to come back and set that foot once again on Jesus Christ? Because he is the rock around the clock. And it is to that rock that we invite you as together we stand and sing.
What the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly, bear his burden to him turn. He who calleth is the Master holy. He will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving, tender voice obeying, find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and ease.